I'm going to start off with just a weird confession this morning. And this is going to sound strange coming from somebody that does what I do, but it's this: I'm tired of preaching sermons. And I know that sounds strange coming from somebody whose job description has the word preacher in it. You think, kind of, isn't that what you're supposed to do? I mean, preach sermons? Isn't that what, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to do? And actually not. I mean, you can go through scripture and nowhere are you going to find where Jesus says, all right, get everybody together, get them in rows, get them all sitting in rows, and then go, you know, preach a, you know, 30, 35 minute prepared message to them and then send them on their way. That's not what he says. What he does say is this, is that we're supposed to do things that make a difference in people's lives. He says, go and create disciples. Go and do something that allows people to not just be informed, but to change, to be different. To be different. And so over the last few weeks and months, just been praying and seeking God's direction. And I feel God lead me to change the way that I ministered, to move from what we're talking about. It's like, here's the topic, here's the series. Move from just what we're talking about to who are you talking to? To move from a sermon to a conversation. And I guess the easiest way to think about it would be if you and I were sitting over a cup of coffee and or tea or Red Bull or whatever it is that you consume, and you're sharing where you're at. You're saying, look, this is what I'm up against. Hey, this is my story. Hey, this is, you know, what I'm facing. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through. This working really good now. And you're sharing your story. And we're just talking. And you're sharing exactly what's going on in your life. And you get to the end of it. And you look at me and you say, okay, Pastor, now what am I supposed to do? Okay, what does God say about where I'm at? I don't need a sermon right now. I just need some direction. I need something to help me for what's next. What am I supposed to do now? And really, that's the goal of what ministry is all about. And so I want to change the way that I minister and move from here's the sermon, here's the point, hopefully it fit, to talking to people and saying, hey, it's like you've told me your story and you're looking at me and saying, okay, now what am I supposed to do next? That I feel that God is leading us as a church from just being informed to instead getting exactly what you need to move forward, to grow, to become what God is calling you to become. And so I don't want you to think of this morning as a sermon. This is a conversation. We're going to talk. There's going to be just gut level honest, and we're going to talk. And the people I want to talk to this morning are the people where you would say this: I'm in over my head. I'm facing something that's bigger than me. I'm facing something that I'm up against that maybe is my fault or maybe somebody else's fault. But I know this. I don't see a way out of this. I don't see a way through this. I don't see a way around this, that I am way, way over my head. That's something I want to talk to this morning. And maybe you feel this way. Somebody wrote this as a description. This is what they wrote. And maybe this kind of sums up where you're at. This says, I'm feeling like I'm paddling my small boat in a huge storm. I've got no clue where land is. There's no more life vests. And I've just discovered there's holes in my boat. And you kind of go, yeah, mm-hmm. I know what that's like. That's my story. That's where I'm up against. And it could be all kinds of things. Maybe it's your kids. I don't know. That they're going through something and you're watching and it would be so easy for you to make the decision for them. And you say, man, if it was up to me, it just 1, 2, and 3. But yet they've got to make the decisions and you're watching it, but yet you're tied into it. And you know what people are saying, and you know what people are thinking. And again, it would be so clear if it was up to you, but yet there you are, and you're just going through it. And it's just like, I don't see a way around it. I don't see a way through it. I don't see anything changing. And it's just like, I'm over my head in this, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Maybe it's your marriage. And here you're sitting next to each other and looking all nice and cozy. But honestly, that is not the story. That you're sitting together, but you're not together. And you say, we're here and we're looking like we're married, but you know what? It's a different story at home. I don't see how this is going to work. Maybe you're here and you're sitting by yourself and you say, you know what, the distance between us is even greater than what you can think. And I'm facing something that you have no idea. And it just feels like I am so over my head. I don't see a way out of this. I don't see how this is going to work. I'm over my head. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction. Maybe everybody knows about it, or maybe nobody knows about it, but you know about it, and it's like a ball and chain, and you're trying to swim with it, and it is just dragging you under and under, and it's like, I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and it's just not working. And I'm so far over my head that I've just given up hope. I don't see a way out of it. I don't see a way through it. I don't know what I don't know what to do next. I'm battling with this, and you're right. I'm way over my head. Or maybe it's just a secret that you have and it's just gnawing at you and you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know what to do with it. And it's just like day in and day out. It's like, how am I going to resolve this? What am I going to do? And it's crushing you. I'm talking to somebody today that you feel, I'm over my head. I don't see a way out. I don't see how this is going to resolve. I don't have an answer. Maybe you've been through something, and even though the circumstance is over, all of the feelings are still there. And now you're dealing with grief, or dealing with despair, or dealing with fear, dealing with doubt, dealing with anger, dealing with the feeling of revenge. And you're saying, you know what? It's over and it's done, but yet all of these emotions are like a straitjacket around me, and I can't get free. I can't work through this. I don't know how to get past this. I've tried and it's just not working. And I'm over my head. I don't see a way out of it. I don't see a way through this. This isn't a conversation for people with little problems. I'm not talking today to people that say, well, you know what? I just can't get grass to grow where it needs to grow in my yard. I'm sorry to hear that, but this isn't the talk with you today. If you're struggling with the fact that the furniture you want to buy isn't going to fit in your house, I'm sorry to hear that, but this isn't who I'm talking to this morning. I'm talking to people who don't know if they can even keep the house, that are looking for the job, or waiting for the phone call to happen that's not happening, or the phone just won't stop ringing and you wish they would just leave you alone, but it's not happening and it just feels like it's crushing you and you're going through it. Or maybe you have a house and you say, but I don't want to live there anymore. I don't like what goes on there anymore. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. I'm talking to, just having a conversation with people that say, I'm over my head. I don't see a way through this. And you come today and you're saying, you know what, I feel like a fraud almost. That we come to church and we worship and I put on a happy face, and that's all it is a face. Because inside I'm dying. Inside I'm hurting. I'm way, way over my head here. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I feel like a fraud. I smile and shake hands. How are you doing? Great. Yeah. And inside I'm saying, liar. You're facing something. And you're tied with all the fear. And you say, you know what? I know it's just a matter of time till this thing falls apart. I know it's just a matter of time till this thing just crumbles, and it's just, I'm biding my time. I'm trying to hang on as best I can, but I can't plug that many holes, and I can't keep this together. And so there's this fear that I know it's going to crumble, it's going to fall apart, it's going to be big, and it's going to be messy, and I'm just desperately trying to keep it together just to make it through today. And that's how I feel. And honestly, I feel like just freaking out. I feel like just running and screaming just down the road. Just, it's what I feel like doing. I just feel like losing it. So we're talking. So if it was just you and me talking and we're sitting over coffee, what would your story be? If you were honest and you just open up, maybe for the first time with anyone, you say, this is what I'm really facing. And I've never told anybody this. I've never just really unloaded this. What would you say to me? What would your words be to me that you're trying to convey that kind of fear or that frustration or that anger or that lack of clarity or lack of direction? You just say, you know what? I'm just gonna dump it out and just say, here's what I'm up against. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm wrestling with. Here's where I feel like I'm not going to make it. Here's my story in all the gory details. Here it is. All right. Blah. What would you say? And then you look at me and say, okay, Pastor, what am I supposed to do next? And that's who I want to talk to today. And since we're just talking, I don't have to worry about all the preacher stuff where everything sounds good, you know, and just all perfect. I'm just going to be gut level honest with you. And the first thing that I say to you is this. If you're feeling overwhelmed, that's okay. Don't be in denial. It's okay to freak out every once in a while. Tell somebody, turn to them and tell them, it's okay to freak out every once in a while. Honestly. Some well-meaning, well-intended person told somebody this some time ago, and it's just caught on. And maybe you've heard this. It's like, just don't claim it. Just don't claim it. Don't claim it. I had a buddy come in. He had red eyes and a runny nose. He was coughing. He had a wheezing chest. He had a fever. He had aches. He said, that flu is going around. He says, but I'm just not going to claim it. Like I said, dude, it has claimed you, okay? It doesn't matter whether you claim it or not. It has claimed you. It has taken up residence in you. You can say, I'm not going to claim it all day long, but you still got a fever and you're coughing and you need to go blow your nose. It's the same with some of you kind of being, I'm not going to claim it. I'm just going to act like it's not happening. Problem is, it's moved into your house. It's moved into your life. It's claimed you. God's plan for you was never for you to be in denial. God's plan for you was for you to just act like everything is perfect. That was never God's plan for you. You are feeling it. You are under the pressure of it. And what I'm going to say, we're just talking, is you need to do something that helps relieve some of that pressure. Go grab your pillow, shut the door, and have a good scream fest in your room.
Well, that doesn't sound very Christian.
Who cares? You're going to blow up. Go to the lake and start throwing rocks in the lake. Go chop some wood. Go eat an entire pint of Halo Top ice cream. You can do that because it's only 280 calories for the whole thing. Go eat the whole thing to yourself and don't share any of it. Go do something to release some of that pressure. Say, I'm not denying it. I just need to do something in the moment to kind of release some of that pressure. Again, don't do something stupid. Don't go kick the dog or throw, you know, rocks at the neighbors or, you know, go hold up a Quick Trip. Don't do stupid things. But do something in the acceptance of this. This is where I'm at right now. It's not easy. It's difficult. And if I try to act like everything is perfect, I'm going to explode. So you know what? Leave me alone. I'm going to go and paint the house. Or I'm going to go and dig a hole in my backyard. Something. We're just talking. Because here's the thing. We often feel that, well, if I accept the fact that things aren't perfect in my life, then that means that I'm not perfect. Well, ding, 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 ding. Guess what? Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody. Amen. Feeling overwhelmed. Feeling all of that, what we're talking about, and feeling that you're in something way bigger than yourself does not mean that you're a failure. Does not mean that you don't love God. Does not mean that you're okay. It means you're going through something. Period. And in fact, if you've ever been in this place, if I'm talking to you today, you're in really, really good company. Really great company. I'm going to give you an example today. I want to show you something. There's this guy in the New Testament. His name is Paul. You might have heard of him. He wrote over half of the New Testament. He wrote the verses that we look to when we're going through tough times. Paul wrote things like, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's like, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm going to start quoting that verse. Paul wrote that, okay? He wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, okay? This is Paul. Okay, he wrote, God will not put us into a place where we're tempted more than we can bear. I mean, this is Paul, right? I mean, man, if anybody's got it good, Paul has it. But you know what? Paul got to the same place you are. Paul got to a place where it says, I am way over my head and I don't see a way out. And if Paul can get there, then don't deny that you can't. Because you may be there. We're talking. So go do something to relieve the pressure, but I want to show you something. You're in good company here. I want to show you this passage. This is so cool. Paul is writing, and he's writing to the people he knows. He's writing back to the church in Corinth who used to pastor. And he says this, for we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, meaning this, we're not going to hide it. We're not going to act like everything is all cool. We're not going to act like, you know, we are all just super spiritual and it's all, you know, 72.5 degrees all the time with a slight breeze. Nope, not going to act like everything is good. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble. Can we also just say trouble?
Trouble.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Of the trouble which came to us in Asia. He says, look, we're not going to deny it. We're going to share it. We're going to talk about it. Look at what he goes on. He says, this is Paul, the strong apostle, teacher, missionary, that we were burdened beyond measure. Meaning, this problem kept dishing out, and we took all we could take, and it kept dishing out. This problem kept pushing, and we took all that we could take, and it kept pushing. Beyond measure, above strength, meaning we gave everything we could give. We tried our hardest. We tried our best. We gave it 110%, and it wasn't good enough. That we stood up, and we said, we're going to give it everything we have, and it didn't work. It still didn't work. It was beyond measure, above strength. This thing is bigger than us. It's badder than us. It's stronger than us. We faced trouble and we didn't see a way out. And he says these encouraging words, so that we despaired even of life. We ain't getting out of this. I don't see a way through this. Wait a second, Paul, I thought you were supposed to be this encourager. And yeah. But you know what? I don't want you to be ignorant of what we went through, because we were at a place where it was bigger and it was badder, and we were in way, way, way over our head. Now, I need to set up this next verse, because when you read it at first, it sounds like Paul just shifts over to the spiritual, and he says this beautiful phrase, and it's just, it's what we should do, and it sounds so perfect, but it's not really that. So let me just set this up. So let's look at this next verse. Look at what he says. Let me read it, and then we'll talk about it. Yes, we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, that sounds so encouraging. It sounds just so spiritual. But you know what he's really saying here? You need to understand. He says, look, this thing was bigger than us. It was stronger than us. It was more than this. That if God had more for us, he would have to raise us from the dead because we're not getting out of this alive. This was going to kill us. We were certain we're dead. And the only hope that we could hang on to is the fact that God might raise us from the dead. Because we didn't see a way out of it. We're done. This is it. We took all we could take. We gave all we could give. And it still is going to destroy us. And so God, if you've got anything more for us after this is over, raise us from the dead and then maybe we can get a do-over. But there's no way out. There is no way out. And here's the thing. You and Paul are sharing the same perspective on what you're facing. This is beyond measure. It's above my strength. I just want to curl up and just die. I don't see a way out of this. And if God's got something for me, then you know what? He's going to have to wait till after this thing has destroyed me and then do a miracle and pick me back up and give me a restart because I do not see a way out of this. I am in over my head. That's where Paul was. But what we're talking, so what I want to tell you is this, is that here's the crazy thing. Paul, in this circumstance, says, I don't see a way out. But that doesn't matter. I don't see a solution. But that's not what I'm looking for. And in the very next verse, look at what he says, because Paul now is saying it was hopeless. Remember what he was saying? I don't see a way out. I don't see a solution. There is no way that I see for this to work. And yet he's writing this from the other side. He says, I don't see a way that I could get out of it, but yet now I'm writing to you having gotten through it, past it, out of it. Look at what he writes, the next verse, so powerful. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue. So remember what I just said? I didn't see a way out, but it didn't matter if I saw a way out, because he did. I didn't see how God could get through this. I didn't see a solution other than raising me from the dead. And that didn't matter because here I am today on the other side, even though in the midst of it, I didn't see a way through it. And so from this verse, I want us, if we're talking today, I want you to interject four words into your vocabulary based on this verse. And it's real simple. It's this next slide. It's just simply this. He has, he will. Can you just do something with me here? Can you just think of whatever that problem is, that situation that's bigger than you, that's crushing you, that you're up against? I want you to think about it. Just think about getting in your brain. And I just want you to whisper to yourself just these four words. He has, he will. Can we just do it one more time? Just to yourself. He has. He will. I don't see a way through it. I don't see a way around it. But he has. He will. Now here's the thing. If this is the hard part, if it's the he will that you're struggling with, then you need to go and start anchoring your he has's. He says, don't anchor your hope on the solution that you see because you're not going to see the solution. You may not even see it. You need to anchor your hope on the fact that he has when I didn't see it before. And here's what I'm saying to you wherever you're at. You need to start remembering and start pulling back into mind some he has's. Some of you have some situations in your life where you say, I remember when I was in the middle of that, I didn't see a way around it. I didn't see how that was going to resolve. I didn't see how that was going to work. It looked absolutely impossible. I remember feeling hopeless, but you know what? I'm talking about that on the other side. Because he has. And because I didn't see a way around it then, but yet here I am, then that gives me hope that I don't see a way around it right now. And he will. You got some things in your family. Some he has's. You got some legacy there. Maybe it's grandma's story or mama's story or aunt's story or grandpa's story. And he said, you know what? I remember hearing about that. He has. That's the same God. He will. It's the reason why we have a Bible. It's not just to hold the coffee table down. Open that thing up. Start finding some he has's. God, it didn't look like there was a way around it, but yet you answered then. It was Daniel thrown in the lion's den, and there was no escape hatch there, and those were not tame, you know, Barnum and Bailey, Ringling Brothers circus, you know, lions. They were mean and ferocious, and it didn't look like it, but yet you did it then. And God, I'm being thrown into something that looks just as angry, just as mean, just as destructive, and if you did it then I'm trusting you will. He has, he will. Start surrounding yourself with this. Get some little index cards. Write a name on there, a situation. Again, you don't have to be descriptive. Just keep them around yourself. This might just be a name. Maybe the name of one of your kids or yourself or a problem or a job, or maybe it's a verse reference. Just start surrounding yourself with these. Put them on your little dashboard, on the mirror in your bathroom or on your refrigerator, something to remind you this. He has. He will. He has. He will. In the meantime, I'm going to go and scream a little bit in my pillow and release some of that anger, because I'm facing it. I'm not denying it. I'm in the middle of it. But here's the deal. When I get done with that, I'm reminding myself, he has, he will. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying everything is perfect. It's not. I am way over my head and I don't see an answer. But he has, he will. And as you go through your day, as you go through your week, as you go through your month, as you go through the season, let these four words just to begin to be part of your personal vocabulary. It's what you whisper to yourself. It's what you say in here when you say, I don't see an answer, but he has. And he will. I'm not anchoring on the fact that I see a solution. I'm anchoring on the fact that he has. 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 And I'm here today. He has. I'm still standing today. He has. It looked impossible then, but here I am today. I'm telling my story today. I'm here today as a result of it. I know people where their story looked hopeless. He has. He has. He has. And I will anchor upon who he is. And that gives me the confidence that I need to know he will. He has. He will. He has. He will. That's a great change of perspective. We need that. We need that. Something simple. So you need to go and start surrounding yourself. Remember that. Write them down. Jot them down. Little cards, put them around. Just talking. Man, the more you do it, more powerful this will become. Because that changes our perspective. But what do we do now? What do we do next? What do we do next? And I'm going to look at this verse again that he's talking about, because we find that same direction and same real practical advice. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. And here's the key. On him, we have set our hope. I mean, we've placed our anchor, we've placed our actions, we've placed our direction on him. And so there's four more words that I want you to interject. So the first four are he has, he will. The second four that I want you to start putting into your vocabulary is this: and so until I will. And then answer the question. Okay, God, what do you want me to do until? What do I need to do until? He He has, he will. And so until it's done, what do I do? See, that's a totally different way to pray. You see, we get so wrapped up, it's like, God, you gotta fix it, you gotta fix it, you gotta fix it, gotta fix it, gotta fix it, gotta fix it. And if I don't see an answer, I'm going crazy. And if I don't see an answer, I just feel like it's falling apart, I'm losing it. I don't see an answer, give me an answer, solve it. And we're wrestling with God and it isn't working, we're just going nuts. Stop it. Stop praying for that. Stop it. Start praying this. Okay, God, my faith is based upon your history of who you are. He has, he will. So until, okay, God, show me what I need to do to prepare. We talk about acting in faith, and we talked about this, and this statement alone is worth you showing up today. It's this. We talk about faith, and here's the key. Faith is acting in expectation, not imagination. Faith is acting in expectation, not imagination. Let me put it this way. If you have faith that some people are going to show up to your house for dinner, okay? Acting in faith that they're going to show up for dinner is this. I'm cleaning the house. I'm setting the table. I'm preparing the food. Getting things ready. In expectation. Imagination is I'm serving the food and I'm having a conversation with an empty chair. So how do you like your spaghetti? And there's nobody in the chair. You want some more coffee? And there's nobody there. We get this mixed up. We think faith too many times is acting as if God has already solved the problem. That's just craziness. That's right. Well, act like it's already done. I can't act like it's already done because I'm still looking at him. I can't act like it's already done because I'm still in the middle of it. And it doesn't work to say that God doesn't want you to be in denial and then to say that faith just wants you to act like it's already done. Those do not work together that way. And that's not God's plan. Faith is saying, I trust that he has and he will. So until, what do I have to do to prepare for the answer? In preparation for the answer. God, I'm not there yet. But I'm seeking you to show me what I need to do to prepare for when you do show up, that I'm at the right place, at the right time, doing the right things that are in alignment that you're going to answer. But God, show me what I need to do. Imagination, we get frustrated and we say, that's it, I'm bailing, I'm walking out, I'm leaving, I'm hanging this thing up. That's not preparation. I got people coming over for dinner. I'm out of here. Are you crazy? That you said you believe that they're in. That's too hard. They're not here yet. There's nobody here and I'm making all this food. Okay, they're coming, but they're not here yet. I'm done. Throw it in the garbage can and walk out. We look at you and say, you're nuts. But yet, honestly, how many of us have been going through something in life and says, God didn't answer. And here I am. I'm worshiping like it's already done and I don't see it. I'm through. I'm chucking this. I'm walking away from this. I'm slamming this door. I'm walking away from it. And God is saying, whoa. It's not the way it works. We need to begin to see, God, what do you want me to do to prepare? I want to talk to two groups of people. The first group is this, that your mess, that your problem is your fault. Just being honest. Your stupid decisions, your behavior, your actions, your fault. And all of us have been there. But the thing that you're facing right now is you're doing. And you can try to blame all kinds of people, but you know in your heart, this is you. It's you. It's your actions. It's your decisions. Your I will just starts with saying, okay, God, I blew it. Your I will starts with changing your direction and saying, God, if I expect you to work a miracle, if I expect you to heal, to restore, to rebuild, then God, I'm going to start living life your way. Okay, God, there's some things I need to start, there's some things I need to stop. God, my I will is being real clear. Show me. Show me. Come to an altar. Ask God to forgive you. God will forgive you. Some of you, your biggest thing right now is you're under the weight of all of those decisions and actions, and it's crushing you, and you just feel hopeless. And God says, man, today's the day. You asked me to forgive you, and I can forgive you. I can lift that from you. And so you're saying, okay, he will, okay, he has, he will. So until, what do I need to do? Until that changes, man, start by asking God to forgive you. That may be it. And watch what God does. And so you're seeking that. You're praying, okay, God, what do I need to do? If I'm putting my trust in you, if I'm putting my faith in you, what do I need to do? You start there and watch how God begins to bring you to another side of your story. There is another side. This isn't the end of the story God has for you. There's another group of people that your problem isn't your fault. You got handed this. You married this. You birthed this. You hired this. You walked into this. You bought this. I don't know what it is, but you know what? You're doing life as best as you know how, and yet all of a sudden you just got hit with this. Your I will may be, okay, God, I'm just going to stick it out until you move. Okay, God, I'm just going to keep praying. I'm just going to keep loving. I'm just going to keep giving. I'm just going to keep searching. I'm just going to keep doing what I know I need to do, and I'm trusting that you're going to take me through this. Even though I don't see a way around it, even though I don't see a way through this, God, if I know that you're going to answer, then I want to do everything that I can that says when you answer, and I look back on this, that my actions were in alignment with that answer. And so until, I will. And you start praying that. It's a different kind of prayer. It's a different kind of talking with God. Okay, God, I trust you're going to answer, and I'm through begging you for an answer and showing me, what do I need to do now? Lead me. Guide me. And here's the thing. You already know, for the most part, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And begin to trust God. He has, he will. And so until, I will. See, I was going through my notes this week and cleaning some stuff out, and I found this old book, kind of dusty book, and it's always interesting because you take it out and you dust it off, and like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while. And it was one of my old journals, and guys have journals, girls have diaries, okay? It wasn't a diary, it was a journal, okay? And so I had wrote some stuff in there, and I opened the page, and here's what I read. I had this written down. I'm paddling my small boat in a huge storm. I've got no clue where land is, and there's no more life vests, and I've just discovered there's holes in the boat. That's what I wrote. We were at a place in our life where everything was falling apart. Job was falling apart. We didn't know where we were going. The job I had was collapsing, and we were looking for new jobs, and it just wasn't opening up. We were getting ready to have a baby that we had not planned for. I mean, in fact, we had just given away all of our baby stuff and then found out, surprise. We're trying to sell our house, and our house isn't selling. We're this tiny, tiny little church that's looking for a pastor, and they're pressuring me to be the pastor. And I know I'm not supposed to be the pastor, but yet we can't find anybody. And it's just like every single thing was falling apart. And I just felt like this ain't working. I mean, going to lose this job. I'm not getting any new job. We're trying to sell a house that nobody wants. I have a baby. What are we going to do there? This church, they're relying on us, and yet we're trying to leave, and it just, I don't know what to do. I don't see an answer. I don't see a solution. I, couldn't point to anything and says, there's hope right there. There's, you know, there's how it's going to work. In the middle of it, I wrote that. And I felt that. And I meant that. But here's the thing. I'm telling this story on the other side of that. Because everywhere that I didn't see an answer, God answered. Everything that looked hopeless, I'm on the other side. I mean, sometimes it was just crazy stuff. Our house didn't sell for months and months and months and months and months and months and months. And if you've ever tried to sell a house, you know you're supposed to keep the house clean. With kids, that is an impossibility. Stress level way up. Trying to drive back and forth, looking for jobs. It's just crazy. Realtor goes, you know what the problem is? You've priced your house too low. Raise the price. Like, we're not selling the house. I know, trust me on this. Just jack up the price. So we did. And it sold in a couple of days. I'm like, go figure that one. I didn't see that one coming. Got a job. They were going to move us. Had the baby. In an ambulance. 18 below at Quick Trip. But he's here on the third row. And in the middle of it, I didn't see a way through any of it. And yet on the other side of it, I can stand up in here and tell you, he has, he has, he will. Because you know why this is so important to me? Because in my life now, if you know us, there's some things that aren't right. There's some things we're struggling with as a family that I don't see an answer for. I don't see a way around. I don't see any hope. I don't see any changing. I don't see any miracles. I don't see any, you know, light hovering down from heaven and God saying, yea, verily, this is the day. And none of that, none of that's happened. I just see the same frustration over and over and over again. And if you think being a pastor is supposed to be perfect, then I am so sorry to disappoint you. We're probably all messed up more than y'all, okay? So just being truthful. But you know what? This gives me hope. Because I don't have to see a solution right now. My hope isn't anchored on me having it all figured out. My hope is anchored on he has. And I didn't see it then. And he did, even when we weren't expecting it. And he's answered, even when it didn't look like there was an answer. And he came through, even when there was no way to come through. And I'm telling the story on the other side. And so as I'm facing something that I'm in over my head, I'm not denying it. I'm frustrated. I'm messed up. There's some days I just want to scream and throw rocks. And I'm frustrated. I'm not denying it. But here's the thing. My hope isn't based on my answer. My hope is based on I can look back and say, and he has, he will. He has. He will. So until, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm just going to keep loving. I'm just going to keep praying. Just going to keep trying to do what I know to do. And here's what I want to tell you. We're just talking today. Whatever you're up against, this isn't your end. This isn't your last story. This is just another one that over time, God wants you to be able to look at and say, you know what? Remember when I thought it looked so hopeless then, when I didn't see an answer and I didn't see hope and I didn't know where to turn and I just was like, oh, I'm dying from this and it's bigger than me and it's better than me and it's stronger than me and I don't see a way out. Look at where I am today. And I can honestly say he has and he will. He has. He will. God's not finished with you yet. Your seeing the solution doesn't matter. So find a way to release some of the pressure. Go do something. Go be a little crazy. You go for it. Don't deny it. You start digging up some he hases in your life. You get some of those little cards or little put it on the mirror, right on the refrigerator, get the verse or a story or a little picture, something to remind you of all that he has. And you keep whispering that into yourself. He has, he will. He has, he will. And you change your prayer from, God, I need to see an answer. I need to see a door open and I need to see a solution, to, God, I trust you. So until you do, what do I need to do for me? What do I need to keep doing? What do I need to change? What do I need to do in preparation? Because one day, I'm going to be on the other side of this. And so what do I need to do today to prepare? For you will. You will. Can we bow our heads? I don't want anybody looking around. I don't want anybody just talking. God's wanting to do something here. Just out of respect of God working just all over this place. We just bow our heads and just close our eyes. Just shut it out. Nobody's looking. If I was talking to you today, I want to pray. It's just especially for you. And if you're saying, you know what? You got me. You got my story. Just nobody looking around. Just if you just slip up a hand, just for a moment, just a second. That's me. That's my story. You see it. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Nobody's looking around. Just being an honest. It's like, man, yeah. I want to pray for you, especially for you, because I want you to realize something. God brought you here today to hear this, and that should give you hope that he knows exactly where you're at. He knows, he cares, and he's wanting to do something. Lord, I'm praying right now for your power to be on these people's lives that just raise their hand. You know the tears. You know the frustration. You know the anguish of what is going on that maybe nobody else knows. God, it may seem like you're a million miles away in the midst of this, but God, would you just remind us in this moment of your faithfulness again and again? And for us to unleash our hold on seeing the answer and seeing everything looking all perfect right now and anchor on something that has never failed us, and that's you. That you would begin to remind us of your faithfulness, of your goodness, of how you have been there again and again, not just through our life, but through those that we know and throughout Scripture again and again. You're never a God that leaves or abandons. But God, I'm praying right now that there would just be a peace and a confidence would come into these lives. The reminder of you have, and God, just that fortitude again of you will. And God, I'm praying that you give them direction. I'm praying that you make that path so clear of what they need to do next. In preparation, that God allow them to see that nothing is doesn't demean them as a person because they're going through something, that this is life and this is what happens. But God, they don't have to be destroyed by this. This is an opportunity for great things to happen in the midst of this. So God, I'm praying right now by the power of Jesus' name that you would invade these circumstances. You would lift us up, bring hope again, and get us moving forward. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Can we stand?